The book of Psalm, we're going to look at Psalm 22 and verse number 3. A couple weeks ago, before the missions conference, we began looking at this idea of how to know that we have worshiped. We titled this series of messages, A Summer and a Fall of Praise. And I don't think we'll have time to finish all the way through with this tonight. We have one more as we finish up, as we look at perhaps next week, we look at this idea of eternal worship. What is that going to be like? Amen. And I'm excited about that as well. So every evening, following the messages that we've had here on Wednesday evenings on worship, I challenge all of us to consider this question. The question was simply this: have we worshiped God today? And as we leave tonight, I'm going to ask that same question again. Have we worshiped God today? And tonight I want us to keep looking at this idea of how we can know that we have worshiped God. Now, last time we met, we looked at two very important parts of worship. Can anybody remember that? I know it's been a while now, but maybe someone might remember. We talked about two important things that we usually do during the month of November near the end of the month. You know what they, anybody remember? Yep, Thanksgiving. And what goes along with Thanksgiving? Praise, that's right. And so tonight we're going to continue on with this idea as we want to look at, I'd say, four more elements of worship, but I doubt we'll have time to get through all of them, but maybe we will as we look through these. So I want us to read here, and let's just read this verse as a reminder, Psalm 22 and verse number 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Father, for your care and protection over us and our families. We think immediately, Father, of Brother Rose's daughter. Father, we thank you for the safety that she's physically had, Father. But I pray, Lord, you continue to watch over them as well, financially and physically with the car, Father. I pray you work things out there. But Father, as we meet tonight, Father, help us to look at another area or two of this area of worship tonight. So Father, we love you and we thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Well, notice as we look at this idea, as we reflect upon ourselves and ask ourselves this question, am I truly worshiping God in spirit and in truth? How do we know that? Praise, thanksgiving, but then notice, thirdly, we are to worship God through giving. You say, oh no, Pastor, we just got through a message on giving on Sunday morning, some messages during the week, the missions conference on giving. Yes, I do understand that. So I thought we'd start off this Bible study tonight by asking you this question. There's no right or wrong answer, but I just want to know what you feel about this question. Why do people give their money to God? Why do people give their money to God? Who would be brave enough to come up with an answer? John? It's in the Bible. All right, great answer. Okay? It's in God's Word, yes. Why else? Why do people give money to God? Because he blessed them again with it. Yes, that's great. Anybody else have anything? Anybody else? Yes. That's right. You cannot outgive God. That's exactly right. Anybody else have any thoughts? Yes. Doug? That's right. That's right. We think about our grace giving, our faith promise, our grace giving, so we could send the gospel out to all the world. Yes, Tim? That's right. That's right. We're being good stewards. So what is getting us? Mary, then we'll get John. That's right. That's right. Do you love me, Mary? Only good. John? That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep. Just use it for his honor and glory. Anybody else before we move on? Miss Kay? First fruits. That was off the top. Somebody else? Anybody else? Why do we give? Why do we give to God? All right, so we looked on the good side of why do we give to God. Now I know we don't think this way, and it might be hard for you to think on the negative side of why we give to God, but let's come up with some scenarios why people might give to God for a negative or a wrong reason. Diana? To show off, yes. That's right. I remember one time I was in a camp meeting in North Myrtle Beach, and it was a wonderful camp meeting, and we were a small church, and they were a large church, and they were trying to, and they brought in Southern Gospel groups, four, five, six of them, and they had great top-name preachers, so you know it cost them a few dollars to do that, and on almost the last night that we were able to attend, happened to be the only night we were able to attend, there's a night they're going to raise the money to pay for all this, right? And so they had an offering, and they took an offering up, and then they another guy came up, and he took another offering up, and then they said, "Listen, we don't have enough. You know, we haven't gotten enough in yet to cover the expenses of this camp meeting, and so we're going to play a couple more songs and get out your pens, get out your checkbooks, and so." I saw a guy, he's writing a check, he ripped it off, and he came running down the aisle. "Hey, Pastor, here's $5,000. Bam, dropped it in. I said, "There's your reward right there." Not that he came forward, but that he spoke it out. And I got to know the guy later on. I don't think he did it to show himself off, but I think he was just so excited that he could give. So that's good. Somebody else. What's a negative? Sandy, and then we'll get... That's right. You get a blessing from God if you give. That's right. Yep. Kay or Dan, did you? That's right. That's what I thought of. Sometimes we feel we have an obligation or a duty to give. That's a negative reason. Yes. And then we'll get. That's right. They want to justify themselves. They think if they give a lot of money to the church that they're going to be good when it comes time to answer to the Lord for their life. Yes. Out of guilt. Yes. Yeah, out of guilt. Yeah. That's right. They don't want to go to church. And it makes them feel good that they can at least give something to God. Negative reasons. Yes. Somebody else. Yes. Keeping up appearances. Boy, how about that? You know, we want to give, not because we love the Lord, but because we don't want anyone to know that we do not give, whether we give a lot or a little. Yes, John. Yes. Yeah. That's right. You just same illustration before. It's not about giving, but it's like just a guy was in a shipwreck out in the middle of the ocean or somewhere a couple miles from land, and he saw land. He started swimming to it, and he said, "God, if you save me, let me get to land. I'll become a priest." And he got a little closer, and he says, "Well, God, I'll go to church every Sunday." And then he got onto the dry land. He said, "I'll give a few dollars in the offering every week." And that's sometimes the way we look at things that way. And so it can be for a sense of duty. It could be out of fear that if we don't give, God's going to send the lightning bolts down. Sometimes it may be this, that we give, get this, only when the mood hits. You know, you ever go to a secular service, I say, in a mainline denomination, because I grew up in there, I know that I would watch people when they give. I couldn't see what they give, just if they give. Some people would give some wouldn't give next week, and I would wonder, well, why don't you give every week? You know, my dad gave every week. I don't know what he gave, but he gave every week. And so maybe they only give when the mood hits them, you know. But I like to believe most believers, those who are saved and who are trusted in Christ as a personal Savior, they give for this reason. Can anybody guess what it might be? A desire to worship Him. That's right. You know, everything that we do here is centered around bringing God honor and glory. We do it through the preaching of the word. We do it through the giving of our tithes. We do it through the singing of specials, through singing of the hymns. All that we say and do. As a matter of fact, turn to 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 8. we see that the Bible teaches us to give cheerfully. And I know we've basically have been through this just recently, but just give me a few moments here tonight. Who would read 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6, 7, and 8 tonight? All right, thank you. Yes. Again, just a reminder to most of you, we see, first of all, the law of sowing and reaping, or the law of reaping and sowing, found in verse number 6. We understand that we reap after we sow, and we reap in proportion to what we sow, and we reap exactly what we sow. And we all understand that this is a universal law, but here we find Paul is applying this universal law that even we can apply to our gardens and farmers apply to their fields, and Paul is applying it to our giving. Notice, secondly, each of us is to give, notice what the Bible says, as he purposes in his heart. And that means we should consider and plan on what we'll give. You know, my wife and I, and no doubt you do as well, we consider what we're going to give each week. We plan on giving a certain amount. It doesn't mean that we can't give more than planned if the need arises in the local New Testament church, and as we're led to meet people's needs and the needs of the local New Testament church. But giving, just like other parts of our worship services, should be done orderly and without confusion. It should not be that we wake up, well, what am I giving this week? Well, I think you pretty much can figure out how much you make when you get your paycheck. You could figure it out if you use the tithe, the 10%, and then you have your your offerings and love gifts and perhaps grace giving that you have added on to that. Give orderly without confusion. I think the best thing to do, and I'm not always 100% on it, but I try to write my tithe check out on Saturday evening and tuck it in my Bible so it's ready there. It's planned. It's orderly. There's no confusion. Thirdly, we shouldn't give grudgingly or of necessity. That word grudgingly means wishing we could do something else with it. That means this, that when you put your tithe in and your love gift and your faith promise in the offering plate, you're not thinking, boy, there goes my bass boat that I always wanted. There's that new car that I wanted. Boy, there's that vacation to the Grand Tetons that I've been dreaming about. It's on my bucket list. And that word of necessity means we feel that we must give. So we're not to give grudgingly. We're not to give to where we feel that we have to give. We should want to give because of what God's given us. What did he give us? He gave us eternal life. He gave us salvation. We could just go on and on and on and on. Fourth, we're reminded that God loves a cheerful giver. And that word cheerful, as you already know, comes from a Greek word that we get our English word hilarious. And so I wonder, is that our attitude in giving? When we give, do we look at it, are we happy when we give? I'm grateful and thankful that God has given me that I'm able to give something back. You know, there's people all across the world, and even in Hampton today, that maybe don't even have a dime that they can put in here. I'm thankful that God has given me the opportunity, and I'm glad I can give cheerfully. And if that's not our attitude in giving to the Lord, maybe we need to revisit the Word of God and what He has to say about this matter of giving. Fifthly, we need to remember that God is able to make all grace abound toward you so that you will have, notice what Paul says, all sufficiency in all things. And so, as someone said, you can never outgive God. And when you and I give to God, He'll take care of your needs. Week after week after week, we hear testimonies of how people were faithful in their giving, and God has met their need. I haven't heard anyone ever testify this that's a faithful giver that said, Pastor, God did not supply my needs. Maybe He didn't supply a want, but listen, God always supplies our needs. He promises that He would. And when we're giving, we find that God gives us instructions on when, how, and the timing of our giving. But on the contrary, I've heard plenty of testimonies of people who were not giving to God what God expected them to give, and they have not had their needs met. And maybe if you're not having your needs met, maybe you need to look at your giving and see, am I doing what God would have me to give? And we should give to God, because giving is an act of worship. We do it with joy, with happiness. And when we don't give, or when we refuse to give, our worship literally is incomplete. And so I want to ask you, how's your giving tonight? How is your giving? And then as we close today and have a word of prayer, I want to ask you this question again. Have we worshiped God today through our giving? I pray that you have. And if not, it's not too late to begin. Let's pray.